Father Robert Ballester, the digital Jesuit with Twit TV here at Black Hat 2014 in Las Vegas, Nevada. I have the pleasure of sitting next to Jakob Lell and Karsten Knoll, two researchers who I think it's fair to say have shocked the world with an exploit they found in USB. Karsten, first of all, tell us exactly how this works.
Well, it's a simple attack in which one USB device masquerades as another, for instance, as a keyboard, and then type commands on your behalf. And of course, a keyboard is a much higher trust class. So we had shown how you can reprogram all kinds of different USB devices to be yet different ones and thereby break these trust differences.
This is not really an exploit. This is how USB was designed. USB was designed so that you could change the firmware in case you needed to update the device. But the problem is there's zero visibility, right? I mean, if let's say I have an infected USB device, there is no way for me to find out that that device is infected short of desoldering the chips and writing some sort of diagnostic tool which doesn't yet exist.
That's correct. So there is no visibility over what software runs in here. In fact, most people will never have thought about that there is software running in it at all, right? You expect this to take files and to play them back when you ask for them. You don't really think about how that happens and that there's a little computer running to facilitate that. And yeah, you're right. So it's everything works as intended. USB was designed such that one device can assume the function of different devices and even have changed its opinion as to what device it is over time. That's a feature of USB that makes it very flexible, but also scarily insecure if the wrong people get to reprogram your devices. Now, the reprogrammed firmware then hides extremely deep in this chip, and there's really no way of comparing it to a known good sample and to ever know whether you're infected.
Right.
Nobody knows whether they are already infected or will be in the future infected. At least they won't be able to judge this by just the device. They may judge it by the infection thereafter and by the negative consequences. But that being said, that's of course too late.
Because the information coming off of a USB device is controlled by the controller. If the controller is compromised, it can tell you whatever you want to hear without actually revealing that it has been compromised. And since we don't know which devices are infected, you just kind of have to assume all devices are infected.
Right. And this isn't just peripherals. As both of you have rightfully said, USB devices are built into computers. So it's not that we can stop using USB devices. It is that we're very dependent on them, right? And so we'll have to find a way around this without abolishing USB as a standard, because USB has brought a lot of usefulness over the years, and we wouldn't want to give that up. So we'd have to change our attitude towards sharing of USB, which is where problems come from. So the problem isn't just with USB and USB has to be given up. It's our approach to using USB at something where we do see different trust levels that needs to change now that those trust levels are broken down.
Now let's talk about mitigation, because there's a lot of pet theories about how, well, this is not that bad because I could do X. Some of the ones that I've heard, and maybe you can address this in order, is first, well, an antivirus. An antivirus can go through all your devices and wipe this out and you won't have to worry about it anymore. The second one was, well, can't I just rewrite the firmware? Have a copy of the firmware for all my devices that I know is good, and anytime I suspect I might have infected devices, I just write good firmware. Mm-hmm. And the third one was, and this is the more extreme, why have it programmable? Why not make all my devices so that they're no longer programmable? I have a ROM that gets blown at the factory so that it can no longer be reprogrammed.
Mm-hmm. Antivirus, for instance, that's not a plausible solution because the software running on this device is not visible to the computer. And even if the device gives you a possibility to read out that software, that firmware, it's the firmware giving you the firmware. So it can just lie. It can give you a good copy while really it is running a bad copy.
So I'd have to count on the malware giving me the truth about itself.
Absolutely.
And that's not
legit, yes. And the exact same applies to the second idea you mentioned. You can just rewrite the firmware to be the good firmware again, if you even know what a good firmware looks like. Again, you are relying on a function exposed by the currently running firmware to rewrite it. So what you can do is just stash it away somewhere without actually executing it. But next time you ask it for a copy of the firmware, it will give you whatever you last wrote. So those do not work. What will work in the future, hopefully, is for these devices to just not be reprogrammable anymore. So not having something reprogrammable, that's easily done by implementing a fuse. Could even be a virtual fuse, a bit in software. Mm-hmm. However, once people do that, introduce software features, of course, that's when real hacking starts.
Right.
That's when every single programming error in the firmware running on the current device would again give you a way of overriding it potentially.
So, and with no way of updating the firmware.
Exactly. Then you would have a situation where bugs become problematic. However, you cannot fix those bugs anymore. So it's a good long-term solution. Just not have USB devices reprogrammable. Just the path there is very unclear, given that billions of these devices are already out there who are reprogrammable.
Right, exactly, because it's not just the flash drives. It's mm-hmm. it's your phone. If your phone, anything with a USB interface could potentially be infected by this malware.
Absolutely, and then infect other things it's connected to.
What would be your message to security researchers right now, to manufacturers who are looking at, again, billions of devices that are already in the wild that all have this vulnerability?
I think what the most important thing that would come out of this research is for people to be aware of the possibility and to start looking closely as to some abuse patterns. Now, you won't find the virus, but you may notice what the virus does to your computer. And until we have some documented instances of people actually attacking computers with USB viruses, there absolutely is no need to panic.
Right.
But it would make sense in the interim, to start changing your patterns around USB usage. Do not share USB devices. If you absolutely have to share files with somebody else and you don't want to use email or cloud service, use an SD card, for instance. SD cards cannot be reprogrammed to be a keyboard. They're much thinner interface that's much more fit for purpose. However, of course, do not then plug the SD card into a USB reader, right?
which your laptop actually, that is a USB reader. That, so you need to use a separate interface.
Right. Yes, but the USB reader in the laptop is only attached to this laptop, and so it can't be attached to another infected computer and
there
get infected
go.
There.
Right.
So as long as your laptop isn't infected, it won't. The SD card reader inside your notebook won't be infected.
Karsten, Jakob, thank you very much for, I will call it, this is the exploit of the conference. Thank you for sharing your research, and thank you for talking to us.
Thanks. Good talking with you.
Thanks. You're welcome.